Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
And I want to speak tonight just very, very briefly about some things that I really see about what's coming in this next year. I'm not going to prophesy or anything like that. There's just some things that I really think are going to be able to help us going forward. But you know what? I love this. I want to read this portion of scripture from Numbers chapter 10. Just two verses, 34 and 35. And it goes back to the time when the children of Israel were getting ready to move on their journeys, when they were in the wilderness and they were trying to get to the promised land. And every time they moved, something took place. And it says this in verse 34. It says, as they moved on each day, the cloud of the Lord hovered over them. And whenever the ark set out, Moses would shout, arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Let all those who fear you flee from before you. You know what? I believe that this year has shown that the church will not be defeated. Can someone help me out and say amen? We've been trying to be muzzled, locked down, locked out of our buildings and not allowed to do what it is that we do. But how many of you know, here we are, we're still here 2,000 years after Jesus was crucified. And I don't believe that the next year is going to be us retreating. It's actually going to be us advancing. And God is with us. He is hovering over us all throughout this year. The Lord has been with his church. I know that because it's been a strange time. Every single thing that could go wrong went wrong. But how many of you know? God is still right. And he's still right with us. I want you to pray with me and we're going to get into this. Lord, I pray tonight that every heart would be open of every man, woman, and child that is watching right now and will be watching. Everyone, oh God, that we've been able to connect with in some way during this whole pandemic season, that is with us, that is behind us, that is part of what we do, or at least has found out about what we do and is watching right now. I pray your blessing on each and every person. I pray, oh God, that they would not just survive in this transition period, but that they are going to thrive in this new year that's coming. And Lord, I pray most of all, from the beginning of this pandemic until now, I pray this would be our reality. That every single one of us would live in a way that gives Jesus a reward for his sacrifice. The time is coming, oh God, for us to stand up. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are, New Year's Eve, 2020. When we began the year, we were beginning a new decade. It looked as if it was going to be a decade that was going to be powerful and auspicious. And, you know, we knew that there was going to be something new that was taking place. But no one saw what actually happened. It crept in like a ninja, didn't it? I remember that being in different places. I was in Mexico in January. Then I was in Holland in February. I was looking around and we were hearing all these things taking place around the world, coming from China. And then the next thing, it just came in like a flood. But I mean, even though God's good at dealing with floods, amen? God's always got a plan in place. And there we were, locked down. New decade, and here we are. What is taking place? For us in the West, though, we think that the new year actually begins when we say it does. So we think that as soon as it strikes midnight tonight, a new year is come into being. That's a new cycle. And, you know, people start making resolutions that they're going to keep for about 3 days. Hello? The chocolate resolution. and the six-pack resolution. Come on now. How many of you know, I think that we need to have a revolution against our resolutions. And instead of making resolutions, I think we should just, you know, really just be realistic and just trust God with all of those things. But how many of you know, the biblical year actually started back in September. So we've got some catching up to do. And what I love doing is I love looking at what those years mean, because in the Hebrew language, every letter corresponds to a number. So words are numeric. And the numbers correspond to letters and vice versa. And you can get a lot of stuff from just breaking down the numbers. There's ways to do it. There's theological ways to do it. And we saw that last year, this year that we're in, when it began, in the Hebrew calendar, was the year 5780 in the biblical year. And it was a decade that was symbolized by the Hebrew letter Pei. That's that 80 number. Pei. And Pei speaks of the mouth. And we did this last year. We spoke about this is going to be a year of what you speak, of declaration. Very important. I don't know if you remember. That you've got to speak the right things. You've got to declare the right things. And it basically spoke to us about entering a decade about being careful about what it is that we say. That there needs to be more of a boldness. Some of you know that the voice of God's people could be silenced if people don't step up and speak out. But you've got to be careful what it is you speak out. And we've had a lot of people in Christianity speaking out this year, but they've spoke out about some of the wrong things. How many of you know people were speaking out when the Black Lives Matter thing was coming on? People were speaking out about that, but some were contrary to the others. Then there was the political situation in America. Then there's been Brexit. Then there's been this and there's been that. But where's the revival? Where's people's souls being saved? Where's the declaration of faith? Where's the speaking up of the beauty and the goodness of God? We needed to be careful. There's something in what 2020 was about communication and expression and even declaration. And I believe that the most powerful thing that we can declare and communicate is about our love for God. There's all different issues that we can comment on, but the biggest declaration that is going to change things and show people who God is when you say, listen, I don't know about you. I am an expert with everything, but one thing I know, I can't tell you how things happen, but one thing I know is that I was lost and now I'm found. And I have a God who loves me beyond any love that I've ever known, and He is an amazing God. That testimony and that declaration, that draws people to come and want to get to know about Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. That's what our words should be about. The words of our mouths and the heart beating towards that. How many of you know, all of these things have been there, but there's been war against it. Actually, I believe that God's got enemies. There's spiritual enemies, there are terrestrial enemies, celestial enemies and terrestrial enemies, fallen angels, celestial beings, and terrestrial beings that are, you know, just hate God, man. But not only do they hate Him, they fear Him. And I believe that God's enemy hates and dreads every declaration of faith that God's people declare about Jesus Christ. Because there's power in that. There's freedom that comes from that. But they've tried to stop it this year. And the enemy, there's something he's been trying to stop. We've had all sorts of things take place. There was an effort through COVID to stop us from communicating the gospel. You can't congregate. You have to wear a mask and all of that stuff. And we understand the health implications. I'm not against that. In fact, in this church, we are so COVID secure. Come on now. They take my temperature before I've even pulled in. They've got like these long-range temperature guns, I'm sure they have, with telescopic extenders. But what I'm saying is that in a year like this, the declaration of who Jesus is was tried to be muted. But in spite of all the madness and all the confusion, God was and still is in control. And he still is hovering above his people. He's still over us. He's still protecting us. Now, we can talk a lot about how bad the year was, but you know, God is good, and he wants us to look back at this year, 5780, 2020, with one thing in mind, I believe, that it was, whatever it was a year of evaluation, where we've had to evaluate ourselves. We've had to evaluate our faith. We've had to evaluate what it is that we believe, what it is that we're willing to actually get involved in the things of God. It's been a year to repent. It's been a year to reset. We've looked at all this. And then to look forward to some refreshing that is going to be coming. And we've been speaking about that all year long. And based on the year we've had and the continuing state of the plague that we're living through, I have a question for you. Based upon everything we've said about this year, my question for you is this. Right now, New Year's Eve, if you were to look back just for a little bit, what have you found yourself speaking about? What sort of things have you been declaring? Are they despairing and apathetic and doubting? Or have you stayed faith-filled and hopeful that this too shall pass? And that coming through this time of madness, there is going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a harvest after every sowing. Come on now. There's a breakthrough after everything that's taken place. What is it that you're speaking? How is the year of the mouth and the decade of declaration? Has it found you? Because whatever happened this year, your words tend to reveal the state of your heart. So if your heart is hurting, if your heart is falling away, don't let your head fall off. There's good news. The clock hasn't struck 12 yet. Come on now. Today is still the day of salvation. And if you make the right choice right now, it will definitely bring security into your future. Whatever's happened, however you felt yourself, wherever you found yourself, your destiny and your history don't have to be the same. 2021, you can learn your lessons from 2020 and you can project them into 2021, and then 2021 can be a better year. So here we are, we're adding another one to 5780. This one is the Hebrew word Aleph. I'm not going to get right into it. This is the Hebrew word Aleph, and it represents both the unity and the power of God, as well as silence. Aleph is a silent word. So it's a picture of an ox, an Aleph, but it's also silent. There's a paradox in there. The ox speaks of strength. It speaks of power. It speaks of the Lord, and it speaks of leadership. But it also speaks of not speaking the wrong thing at the wrong time, of using wisdom and discernment about what it is that you get involved in. Let me tell you what I believe is going to take place. God is going to raise up some new leaders. He's going to raise up some new people in the church, in the kingdom of God, around the world. Leaders that have not been on the stage before. They've been kind of silent, but God's been preparing them. And they're going to raise up, and they are going to be the ones that declare what it is that God wants to do. There's going to be a change that comes. There's going to be a changing of the guard. New wineskins coming into place. Are you with me? So I believe that for us, it's going to be a year when you need to be still and know that He is God. It's a year when you have to know who's in charge. It's a year that you have to understand that God is in control and he wants us to step into this new year boldly declaring that Jesus Christ is still Lord. It's a year to partner with God completely. And I think this last year has shown where we've been not partnering with God. It's been a bit of a pulling back, a bit of a falling away. It's a year going forward where we need to really watch what we speak. So you've got to trust God, man. And don't join in with the gossip and the slander and the negativity and the backbiting and the pulling down and the factionalism. Don't get involved in all that stuff. Because how many of you know our words have power and we have to be careful that we don't speak ourselves out of the place that God wants us to be in. Sometimes you can talk yourself out of a blessing because God wants some good stuff coming up in the future. Now, I've been praying, man, and I've been looking at this myself, and I want to make sure that I am going to be speaking what God wants me to speak in this coming year. I don't want to be moaning. Man, listen, I've had chances to moan, and I've moaned. I've whined, I've complained, I've had bad things happen, tough things happen, I've been let down, backstabbed, talked bad about, had to keep a church running for like 10 months of lockdown. Because in Manchester, we've been locked down since August. How many of you know there's other times when I've just turned around and said, God, forgive me. And I started to proclaim and declare and speak the good things of God. And you can listen to my messages, you know what comes out of my heart. But I've been looking at what are the things, what things can help people going forward? And I've really looked into it. And I've got it down to three key things. Three key things. That if you do these things, you will future-proof yourself. Three key things. Are you ready? Number one. This is one key for 2021. Number one, build real connections. Build real connections. You've got to connect with people, but you've got to connect with God. Don't be isolated, man. Be insulated. But make sure that the people that you surround yourself with are not going to be negative gossips. They're not going to be the slanderers and the negative ones and the backbiters. You're not going to get involved in any little wound-licking communities that try to justify their negativity. You've got to get away from that stuff because if you surround yourself with people like that, you will be dragged back down into the darkness instead of being launched forward into the light. At this hour in the history of the world, man, you've got to come out of the gatherings where there's unbelief. And you've got to separate yourself from those who could have a bad influence on your life. And you've got to start partnering with the right people. Insulate yourself with faithful people. Because how many of you know your faith, if you have one, is determined by connection. Salvation is basically becoming reconnected to the Creator God through Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. It's where you get reconnected to the Creator God through faith in Jesus Christ, who loved you, who lived for you, who died for you, who paid your price, and then rose from the dead, never to die again, to give you a second chance. That's basically what salvation is. And it's a reconnection with God. That's how it begins. But then, your salvation experience is then built up in community with others that are like-minded. Others that have the same thoughts as you. Others that have the same motives as you. Others that are sharing the same experiences with you. That's what church is. You know how many people have said, we don't need church. We don't need to go to church. We don't need to do this. Church is in the past. Church is no good. Church is irrelevant. That's not right. That's an excuse for them not to have to do what it is that God wants them to do. But church ain't going away, man. Community's key about connection. And there's something about salvation that includes both quality and quantity. The quality is about how your experiences with God help you and shape you for the better. I don't know about you, but my experiences with God have been good. He saved me when I was messed up. He found me when I was lost. He's kept me through thick and thin. And I have been thin. Hello. God is good. Can someone say amen? God is good. There's a quality to it. That quality is important, that you understand that God is good. Listen, there's been times I haven't understood why he's allowed certain things. I'm like, God, why did you allow that to happen? I don't get it. Explain to me. Nothing. Silence. Nish. Nothing. But I trust him. Because later on, I start to see the unraveling of stuff that I couldn't see from my little vantage point, but he could see from his high place. There's a quality to life when you're saved, and it comes about in community. And that quality is something you want to share with others. That quality is what makes Christianity attractive. It's not the, you must believe this, and you must believe that, and you must behave in this manner, and you must behave in that manner, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. That's just religion. There's self-righteousness and religion. Negative religion. People don't care about all that stuff at the beginning. They want to know whether it's worth it. They want to know whether they belong. Because how many of you know belonging often comes before even believing? And belonging and believing always come before behaving. So we've got to get back to that. That connection. That you actually show your the quality of what it is that you're about with the people that are around you. Are you with me? But then there's a quantity to it. Because we all want more people to experience salvation. Not so that they can just come to church and sing songs and, you know, feel awkward. But because their life is transformed, their mind changes, their heart changes, their motives change, their life is going to change. And then one day they will be with the Lord forever. And I've found that the first one, the quality of your connections, will always affect how you embrace the second responsibility, which is about reaching out to people so that there's a greater quantity of those connections. Because if you're a half-hearted believer, you'll be a half-hearted witness to others. If your heart is negative and falling away from the Lord, why would anyone that you speak to want to come to get to know him? If all you do is moan about church, if all you do is moan about God, if all you do is moan about this, why would anyone out there want to come to know Jesus? You've become a vaccine against Christianity. Instead of giving people an injection of it. How many of you know when you engage in God's life and you get involved with God's work, you get filled with God's Spirit. There's something amazing that takes place. It fills you up. There's an excitement. There's a boldness. There's an understanding of meaning. There's purpose involved in that. And things start getting exciting. They get meaningful again. You start to be able to overcome the little niggling stuff. You rise above it. You go beyond it. And things start looking good. And you have hope. And that hope gets you looking forward to a better future. Too many people this year have either fallen back from their relationship with God or they've sunk into apathy and negative habits throughout this COVID season. They don't want to get involved no more. Some people, they haven't even logged on to one Zoom. They haven't logged on to Facebook or YouTube that were part of the church. This is across the board. What is all that about? So now it's time to come back and reconnect and make sure your connections are good, because you can easily get isolated. And how many of you know, when the lion, that roaring lion, is prowling around seeking someone to devour, he's not going to look for the ones that are in the middle of the pack. Come on now. He ain't going to look for the ones that are parked up in the middle of the herd with the big buffalo. He's going to look for the lame, the sick, the weak, the lazy, and the isolated. And he's going to pick them off. Don't let that be you. So change your thinking and repent. When I was doing my studies about the Hebrew numbers and the Hebrew letters and all the rest of it, I came across this dialogue between a famous old rabbi called Eliezer. He was speaking to his disciples once and he told them this. We're talking about repentance and change and stuff like that. And he told them this. He said, repent the day before you die. Repent the day before you die. They were asking him, what should we do? How should we do it? When should we do it? He said, repent the day before you die. And one of his Talmudim, his disciples, looked at him all puzzled and weird. And he said to him, but Rabbi, how do I know which day I will die? And the rabbi looked at him and smiled and said, exactly, all the more reason to repent today. Don't wait. Don't wait until summer. Don't wait until 2022. Today is the day of salvation. And even if you're saved, come back. Come back. Get back to loving the Lord again and living in His love. And then surround yourself with people on the same path. Second thing for 2021. First one is really build good connections. The second thing is raise your expectations again. Raise your expectations again. We serve a God that created the universe. We serve a God that can heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. We serve a God that can provide every need. We serve a God that can crush His enemies underfoot. We serve a God who died and who rose again from the dead, never to die again. We serve that kind of God, man. So start believing again for God's best. Don't let the circumstances drag you down. Don't let the circumstances pull you back. The circumstances are always going to be there. But how many of you know God is bigger than your circumstances? Believe again. This lockdown mentality that you've got into where you just park up and you stay in your pajamas and you just hold back and you don't get involved. I understand the implications of health, but how many of you know when fear gets a hold of you, you stop doing anything? There's a difference between health and safety and discernment and wisdom and a paralysis of fear. And I don't believe that God's people should be paralyzed by fear. There's still work to do. There's still lost people out there. We need to change this lockdown bunker mentality to the advance and take ground mindset. I mean, if you know, there's some ground to take. There's some souls to win. That means stop focusing on all of the worst things around you. Even turn the news off. You know, in lockdown, the first lockdown, me and my wife, we watched the news every day. We wanted to find out the numbers. We needed to know what was going on. We wanted to take care of people. You know what now? I don't even bother. And it's not that I've become blasé. It's not that I've become callous. It's just all bad news all the time. Why am I going to surround myself with bad news? Are you with me? So it's important that we get some good stuff around us. Some of you know there's been some good things happening. I think you should write a list of all the good things that have happened to you. I had to do that for something I did. I wrote a list of good things. I completed my master's in lockdown. I published a book in lockdown. Come on now. We saw our church continue to develop in lockdown. We saw new leadership rise up in lockdown. We graduated men and women from our homes in lockdown. We saw marriages in lockdown. Hello. We had more time with our families in lockdown. You had more exercise in lockdown. Come on now. You wore Lycra in lockdown. Even the men. Never do that again. But there's been many good things. And then you have to remember that if you belong to God, you're on the winning side. Look for the opportunities that are there in 2021. Dream again. Dream again. Start a business. Dream again. Dream. Innovate. Look for the opportunities. Make a difference. Be brilliant. Represent Jesus. Start a podcast. Get online. Start doing Instagram. If you've never done it before, Get involved in the things that we're doing in the community. Dream again. Represent Jesus. Because your faith needs to be active. And if it's not active right now, then reactivate it. Reactivate it. Believe for that breakthrough that you need. Believe for your children to get a breakthrough. Believe for that change. Believe for that healing. Believe for that soul to be saved. But whatever you do, don't settle for anything less than God's best for your life in this coming year. It's just another year, but God is the same. Number three, last one. Are you ready? Be flexible. Be flexible. Maintain method flexibility. You know, there's lots of people that have got stuck in old ways. They've still got old wineskins. We've been saying, get rid of your old wineskin. Get a new wineskin. God's doing something new. He wants to do something new. Even in the church, there are new methods. But people that are stuck in old paths, old ways, old stuff, they're not open for God's new things that he wants to do. How many of you know church is going to be here till the rapture? Until Jesus comes and takes his church away, the church is going to be here. You ain't going to get rid of it. The devil ain't going to get rid of it. Communist China can't get rid of it. No one can get rid of it. The church is still here, man, because it's God's idea. But how many of you know that it's going to probably look a little bit different going forward? And that's okay. That's all right. There's no doubt there's going to be challenges in 2021. Listen, we're going to get locked down. They're going to be rolling out. There's a new variant. There's a new this. There's another thing. We know that stuff is going to take place, that things are going to happen. But how many of you know that we need to be ready for those challenges, and we need to be nimble, and we need to be agile, and we need to be looking at ways to adapt and overcome? That's what churches did throughout the lockdown. We had our doors shut. No one could come. So we started up pop-up churches in all of your houses. We went online. We started doing things different. The format of our stuff was different. The way we outreach was different. But here we are, New Year's Eve, and we're still here. Methods have changed, but the function of what God wants for the church to do is still the same. Reaching, teaching, discipling, providing atmosphere for people. This flexible way of thinking tries one method, and if that method doesn't work, it tries another method until success is achieved, and it doesn't quit until the job is done. That's the flexible mindset. That's what you gotta have, man. That's what I've got. Man, we're so flexible, people lunge in our team before we have service. Come on now. We've even got one of our brothers wants to lunge a marathon to raise money for what God wants to do. Imagine that. 26.2 miles, wherever it is, of lunging. Be flexible, though. Don't let the situation block you. Are you with me? If you can't go around it, you can't go over it, and it's too hard to go over, then plant your feet and speak to it, and in the name of Jesus, tell it, get out of the way, because I'm coming through. And this flexibility stuff is true in your personal relationships, it's true in your work, your career, it's true in your health, but most importantly, in the responsibility that every Christian carries in being a witness to a lost world about Jesus Christ. It's about making disciples now. It's about being flexible. How can we reach people? How can we help people? Are you with me? And then how can we journey with those people as disciples? How can we reculture the world around us? God's looking at you. He's looking at me. He's looking at us to make that difference. We want everyone that we know to have their names written in the book of life, right? I want my family, I want my children, I want everyone I know, my friends, my neighbors. You know, every night before I go to bed, I go outside my house, in my front garden, on my drive, I check the cars, make sure they're locked, and I pray for my neighbors. Whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, whether it's freezing, sometimes even when all I've got on is my socks because I forgot to put my slippers on or whatever. Because why? Because I want their names to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What about you? Church methods have changed throughout this mad year, but the church ain't going away. And you're the church. Now's not the time to go away. Now's the time to grab a hold of this year. Now's the time to get reconnected with God. Now is not the time to fall off, because you might get so far away that you can't come back. Now is the time to lock on, lock in. Start to choose, man. Start to choose what it is that you're going to get involved in. Choose a way to serve and then be faithful to that come what may. How can your life make a difference? And then when 2021 ends, when by God's grace we're standing here or wherever and we're preaching at the end of 2021, you'll be able to look back at success, at satisfaction, and not at regret. So get involved. We're going to start to do something now that I want you to get involved in. We're going to make some declarations. We did it last year, and we made certain declarations of faith that we spoke into the new year. This is not weird. This is not funky. This is not strange. This is us making a declaration to heaven and earth, to ourselves, that certain things will come to pass, that we want certain things to come to pass, because when you say it and you see it, you'll follow that direction. So I want you right where you're at. I want you to really shake yourself now. I want you to get yourself ready. I want you to get up if you need to. I want you to be bold about this. I want everyone to do it. I want you to speak these things out, because we're going to make some declarations about the future that we want to meet up with. Some of you know the future is something that's there and you can meet up with it. You know, every time I send someone a text or an email that they don't pick up until later, I've spoken into their future. Right? But we're going to make these declarations. Are you with me? Are you ready to do this? There's going to be five things that we declare at this time. And the way I want to do it is that I want to speak it. And as I'm speaking it, I want you to echo the words. Speak with me. We're going to do this together. Are you with me? But first of all, I want us to pray this to prepare our hearts. Pray this. Speak this after me. Say, Father God, speak it out. Come on. Father God, I repent of everything I've learned or leaned on that doesn't belong in your will for my future. And I have faith that this next year will begin the best and most fruitful period of my life. Come on, declare it out. Start speaking into it. So are you ready? Five things I want you to declare out loud. First one is about peace. Everyone say it, peace. Now say this, I declare the full shalom of God over my life. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. I declare this over my life, my family's life, and over the life of my church, and over my city in this next season. Speak this out. I let go of all unforgiveness and everything and everyone who is toxic. And I will partner with peace-filled people. I submit to God. And I resist the devil in the name of Jesus. Come on, start getting aggressive with this. Number two, health. Say it out loud, health. I declare full healing and refreshing to my tired mind and body. I want full health, physically, mentally, and spiritually in 2021, so that I can fulfill the will of God for my life. I let go of all doubt and fear and shame and every negative word and attitude and opinion of other people that has been cast over me. Go now in Jesus' name. Number three, money. Say it, money. I declare financial breakthrough and a spirit of generosity to flow through me. I ask for God's wisdom to make good, faith-filled financial decisions so that I can help to resource God's will in my life. I let go of all selfishness. Come on, say it out loud. I let go of all stinginess. And I let go of every sinful, controlling attitude in Jesus' name. Number four, come on, we're nearly there. You're letting these fly like arrows into the future. Number four, purpose. Say it out, purpose. I declare a willingness to engage with God's purpose for my life so that I will move forward knowing where I am going and how to get there. I let go of apathy and negative excuses. And I resist the temptations of the world so that I will enjoy the benefits of eternity. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Number five, revival. Come on, shout it, revival. I declare that I will experience spiritual revival and that I will be a steward of God's signs and wonders and miracles in my life, in my family's life, in my neighborhood, in my city, in my nation, and in my generation for the glory of King Jesus. I let go of unbelief. I let go of laziness. I let go of self-righteousness. And I let go of the religious spirit that denies the power of the Holy Spirit. And I put down sinful pride in Jesus' name. Now declare this one last thing. I step into 2021 in faith that Jesus Christ is Lord and that what He has begun in my life, that He is faithful to complete it. Now lift up your hands and surrender to Him. Holy Spirit, I pray You seal every word, You'd seal every heart, You'd come and flow into every life right now. We've made these declarations of faith, oh God, and we believe that the words of our mouths, empowered by Your Spirit, directed by You into this future that we're going to be walking into, oh God, are going to cut through every obstacle. They're going to direct us through every fog. That You're going to give us inspiration when we don't know what to do. That You, oh God, when we don't know whether to turn left or right, that it will be Your voice that is behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. Holy Spirit, may we draw closer to You this year. Release Your anointing in us and through us so that this coming year we'll see more victories than the one we've just left. Lord, we love you. We place you first. I pray right now for all of you that are, you're changing your mind, you're changing your direction, you're repenting right now. Cry out to him. Cry out to him, respond to him right now. It's not too late. There's still time. Today, right now, this is the moment. This is the moment. There's one other thing about 2021, 5781. I want to close with. It's going to be a year that brings amazement. You're going to be amazed at some stuff. God's going to amaze you. God's going to amaze you. Things look the same, right? They look like, well, in whatever tier you're in, there's lockdown, there's madness, there's this, there's that. There's an increase of this. It's getting worse. God's changing things. He's going to amaze us. He's going to amaze us. He's going to amaze the world. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. Come on. Tell him you love him. Start to praise him. If you don't know how to do it, just say, God, I praise you. God, I worship you. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior and my very best friend today and forever. You are good and your mercy endures forever. King, eternal and immortal. You never change. Come on, let the Holy Spirit flood your house right now. Let it fill your heart right now. Come on, just worship him. Worship him, worship him, worship him.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.